We've done some investigative reporting. So I'm going to report to you what we investigated. Amen. Being as we have friends here that gave us some names of some groups to investigate. So we investigated. And I'm going to tell you the difference. All right, you ready? The difference is, those Psalms, I'll tell you what those little modern contemporary Christian groups, you know who they appeal to? They appeal to young girls.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what it does. We watched their videos, and every video, what it showed was an oppressed young lady. And all her feelings and all her thoughts, and her family don't understand her, and her church don't understand her. And man, I'm telling you, that singing what you just heard right there, that gets your mind off you. Amen. That's worship. I don't even know if I can go into it now. I had them down earlier. They all sound European. They sound like they're English or something. Help me, Jesse. I don't know if I can. Give me just a little help.
I can't.
Let me see. Is this on too? No, this ain't on. I'll use this one here. You know, that you got to eat the microphone. And it ain't going to look right with me doing it because I'm clean cut. I mean, you got to look like a beatnik. Amen. You need greasy hair. You just... Give me one of some of the. Yeah, today. Well, I lost a little hickey off of there now. Say, she sits in her room. Everything's quiet and still. Alone in her room. She's alone, all alone. Alone in your room. No one understands you. No one really cares. You're alone in your room. Your little brain is so small. Do you see the difference? Hey man, do you see the difference in that? And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sighed. She wanders in her room. Does anybody love her? Does that sound like them?
Yeah.
Woo! Amen. We're going to do a whole deal at camp. Our minds are already spinning. Me and Jesse will sing the modern contemporary, and then we'll have Daniel over the side playing hymns. Show you the difference. Amen. Amy Grant, they said at a concert, she was thrilled because she smelled marijuana at one of her concerts. She said, I was thrilled when I smelled that because I seen that, you know, the world could come in and enjoy my music too. Blah! Amen. God help us. Amen. Man, I want to get as far away from that stuff as I can. I don't need some little stringy-headed band to, amen, put me in some kind of doldrum. Amen. Got these girls nowadays. I'm telling you, girls, you are a target for the devil. Amen. Sitting here right now, the boys, they just, oh, they're just dumb. They're still hung up on Pokemon and all that stuff. You can't already get the Nintendo out of their hand. But you girl, the devil, I'm telling you, the devil's after y'all. Amen. Say, what do you want to do tonight? Man, after that, let's just shout her out. You want to? Amen. I just like for the night tonight, preaching tonight, I'm going to try my best to lift up my Savior. He is the best that ever happened to me. I'm glad, thank God, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm glad I'm a child of God. I'm glad I'm washed in His blood. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm in church here tonight. I'm glad I've been rescued. I don't have to get drunk anymore. I don't have to get high anymore. Say, why? He saved me. He'll do the same for you. Amen. He'll save your soul. Amen. He's the best that there is. Boy, I love to preach about Him. Amen. I love to preach about Him. Amen. When He came in a virgin's womb. They called Him Mary's baby. Amen. Y'all want to have a little fun? You need to help me out. This is group participation.
All right.
This is something y'all are not used to. All right? When I get to the point and kind of ask the question, you just say, Jesus. All right? Well, they called Him Mary's baby, and His name is?
Jesus.
I'm telling you, He was the one from the Nazarene. Amen. He was the one born in Bethlehem's stable, and His name is?
Jesus.
Well, I'm telling you, He's the one that saved my soul. I ain't ashamed of Him. I'll talk about Him wherever I go. Say, what's His name?
Jesus.
I'm telling you, one that saved me, His name is
Jesus.
He's the best there is. I'm telling you, when His name is mentioned, I'm telling you, all heaven stands still. When He's preached about, I'm telling you, the angels stand at attention in heaven. When He's sung about, I'm telling you, the birds that are in the trees, I believe they bend their ear to hear that name called
Jesus.
He's the best there is. Who is He? I'm telling you, He's our Savior. He's the Word of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Amen. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the bright morning star. He's the balm of Gilead. He's the beauty of holiness. He's the door. He's the day star. He's the divine image of the invisible God. I'm telling you, He's Emmanuel being interpreted. God with us. He's our Savior. And His name is?
Jesus.
I'm telling you, He's the best there is.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Well, I love to preach about Him. I like how He walked on this earth. Bible said never a man spake like this man. You ever had Him speak to your soul?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like that. Amen. Well, I love to be around where He is. Hey, kids, I'll tell you what happened. I got in with a nerd crowd. Amen. When I got saved, I become a nerd.
Okay.
Amen. I'm in with the nerds.
That's all right.
Look at them in here. You know what bothers some of you? You don't want to be associated with the nerds.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will.
I love
it. I join up.
Amen.
I'm with the nerds.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You think that makes me a sissy?
No.
Amen. I'll slap box with you after church. Amen. We'll grapple a little bit.
Yeah.
No, sissy. No, I know Him.
Amen.
He's the best ever happened to me. Boy, I love to preach about how He healed the sick, how He raised the dead, how He preached to the Pharisees and hypocrites. Amen. How He went in the temple and overturned the tables of the changers in the temple. How He got on that little donkey and rode into Jerusalem. Boy, I'm telling you, you ever read that story? Bible said He rode into Jerusalem and all of His disciples started to praise God and shout with a loud voice.
Amen.
You know why?
Yes.
It's the first time they ever seen Him deified in any way. I'm telling you, when they seen Him on that little pony, they got a vision, they got an image. One of these days, I'm telling you, they couldn't hold back.
That's right.
Man, they started shouting her out. Woo! Hallelujah! Hosanna! Yes. Glory to God in the highest! There He is! That's Him! That's the Son of God! That's the Messiah! That's the one that's coming! That's the one that's given His life! Hey, that's the Shepherd of the sheep! That's Him! And they couldn't help it! Rode in there and prayed over Jerusalem. Rode in there in the triumphal entry. And then He goes into the synagogue and Man starts kicking over tables and throwing the tables over. You don't think he wasn't a man? Wonder what he'd kick over in here. Wonder if he came here to Blackstone and, amen, got over here and prayed over this city or prayed over Massachusetts. I wonder where he'd come. I'll tell you where he'd come. He'd come right here. Wonder what table he'd kick over in here. Amen, the old Marlboro table. Amen. That old rock music table. Amen. What would he turn over? Something? How about just you being so quiet, so dead? What got you that way? You're weird. Man alive, I got something to shout about, don't you? I say this, it'd be good if you got saved before you left out of here. Then it'd give you something to shout about. Amen. Love to preach about, amen, how he talked to his disciples. They'd have private audiences with him. He'd say, you see these buildings, said there'll be not one stone left here upon another. And disciples said that they came to him privately saying, Lord, when shall these things be? What's the sign of thy coming? He's coming. Boy, when he died on the cross, something else in the garden, praying, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. They get out there and the soldiers come. And Simon Peter takes his sword and he says, oh, no, boys. You've taken my Lord. And old Malchus stepped up first. He was probably the hothead of the bunch. Yeah. And old Simon Peter went to cut his head off, and that guy dipped his head like that, and he cut his ear off. I kindly wish he'd have cut his head off. Say, why? Lord reached down and put his ear back on. Yeah. I'd love to read, amen. The Lord reached down and put Malchus's head back on. Reached down there and pick it up, and he's going, ah, just stick it back on. He'd go, woo, what happened? I like to read that, amen. And they led him into the judgment hall there. Wicked men begin to revile him. And I'm telling you, we've seen a picture like you ain't never seen. Like a lamb brought before shears, brought to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. All he could have called, they said, 10,000 angels. He said, are you the Son of God? He said, thou sayest. He said, don't you know we got the power to crucify you? He said, you'd have no power unless the Father give it to you. Soldier come up and walk up and hit him. Boom! Then they got a crown of thorns. Said he was a king. Let's make him a king. They platted a crown of thorns on him. Took a reed and smote him in the head. Blindfolded him, took their fists and hit him. Said, prophesy, prophet, who smitest thou? But he opened not his mouth. Did that for me. He did that for you. Whether you want to realize it or not, he did that for you. Amen. They led him to Pilate's hall. You know the story. Pilate there, he said, what is truth? Man, he had him standing in front of him. Pilate had him scourged. I don't know if you've seen the movie or not. I heard a lot of people criticize it, but I had to see it. Somebody gave me a black market copy of it, of the Passion of the Christ. I mean, I watched Patriot. I cried when I watched it. That little girl going, don't leave, Daddy, don't leave. Man, I cried watching that. But man, I'm telling you, when those soldiers took that cat of nine tails and they had him leaned over and they hit that cat of nine tails on a big wooden stump there, boom, and it stuck in it. And they jerked like that and pieces of wood come out of that big hunk of wood like that. Man, I'm telling you, my heart dropped. You know, they said the fella that played the Lord in that movie had a big wooden plank on his back. And when they was using that cat of nine tails, acting like they were beating him, that one strand went down and hit him on the side and put 27 stitches in his side. One strand missed the wooden board. And they said as they were sewing that old boy up, he started weeping and crying. I don't know if he got saved or not. But man, I'm telling you, my wife looked over at me and I said, man, my head hurts.
Say, why? From weeping. Because he did that for me.
Yeah.
Did that for you. They took him and nailed him to that cross. Hung him up between heaven and earth. They've been there, and man, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. How can you refuse him? The Bible said he gave up the ghost. It says there the veil of the temple was rent in twain, top to the bottom. I like that song. Somebody got it from one of those modern deals, and they sang it at their charity. You remember that song? Said, I forget how it goes now, but said, once there was a holy place, out of the veil, and then it says, the veil was rent in twain. Said, mercy had its face pressed against the veil. Say, why? Mercy knew once that blood was shed, amen, that mercy would come running. Say, running where? After us. Oh, Gentile dogs. And that veil of the temple and Brother Estep and Sister Estep's daughter and them sing that. And it says, mercy came, mercy came, mercy came running like a prisoner set free. All past all my failures. However it goes, man, we all down our charity, we all go nuts. Everybody starts running. Woo! Say, why? Mercy came where we were. That's what happened when you got saved. Mercy came.
Yes, amen.
Amen. It'll come tonight. Right. Well, I love to preach about all that, but I'll tell you what I'm going to preach about tonight. I'm going to preach about he's coming back. Ready or not, he's coming back. Amen. I'm telling you, the old timers used to preach it. You know what they used to do? They used to scare people. Hey, he's coming. Any moment he's coming back. I'm telling you, you better be ready. You better not play no games with God. Why? He's coming. Any moment he's coming. You say you'll make people mad. I'm afraid I won't make people mad. Said you'll run people off. I'm afraid you're too far gone now. Shock therapy. That's what you need. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is coming back. Boy, is he ever mad. Amen. I had seen a bumper sticker one day. Jesus is coming again, and boy, is he ever mad. Amen. I'm telling you, all this junk, all these other, if you love something, set it free. If it doesn't come back, it was never yours. I like I seen on the redneck's truck. It says, if you love something, set it free. If it doesn't come back, hunt it down and kill it. One of them said, log the earth now. We'll get the other planets later. I like that kind of stuff. He's coming. He's coming. I'm telling you, any moment he's coming.
Yeah.
I read a book. I don't know if anybody here has ever read it or not. It's called The Endurance. It's about a guy by the name of Ernest Shackleton. Anybody ever read that book? Ernest Shackleton, in 1912 to 1914, in that era, took a ship that they had built, special built, with huge timbers in it, 21 inches thick, of some of the toughest wood they could find, and they went to Antarctica. Nobody had ever been there in a ship. And the danger is you get to Antarctica and the ice flows block you in, and they literally crush your ship and sink it. And he took a ship that had special built called the Endurance. And Captain Shackleton took his men down in the Antarctic, and sure enough, their boat got stuck in the ice. And that ice, just miles of it, started to close in on their ship. They tried to bust it loose. They tried all they could, and they lost their ship. Here they are in the middle of Antarctica, out on the ocean, on the ice, and they watched their ship literally get crushed. They said they could lay in bed at night before the ship actually crushed, and they could hear the timbers, and it said it moaned, cried like a woman at night. And finally, that thing crushed, and they were out on the ice. They took their little lifeboats, and they went from ice floe to ice floe. 500 and some days, those guys made it. They said there was things called sea leopards that would swim underneath the ice, and they could bust through the ice, and they're used to grabbing seals and stuff like that. And said they tried to grab them, and man, they had all kind of danger, frostbite. And they finally got to a big iceberg, and I think they called it Elephant Island or something like that. And they got there and they had a break in the ice. And their captain, Captain Ernest, they called him Sir Ernest Shackleton. They asked his men in the book, they said, "Was you ever scared?" And they said, "Sir Ernest would not allow us to be scared." That's the difference between men now.
Yeah.
And they had a break in the ice. Sir Ernest Shackleton took a lifeboat, him and another couple guys, and they went on that lifeboat. They say even in today's standards that it's impossible. They went through a 500-mile pass that they said even the big ships can't hardly go through. And they went for help. Here are those guys. They all know those waters. They know how cruel the waters are. But they had confidence in their captain. And they waited on that Elephant Island for 300 days. And Sir Ernest Shackleton went and found a whaling community and got to a whaling community. They said when he knocked on the door, said his nose was froze off. His ears were froze off. And they said when a guy came to the door and he says, "I'm Sir Ernest Shackleton." They said the guy that answered the door stood and wept because they all thought they were dead. And he commissioned the next ship he could to come back and get his folks out there on that island. Now, let me reason this with you. I read the book. When they'd look out through that pass, every day looking for their captain, I bet you it got every once in a while, it just got to be, you know, man, he ain't coming back. I just don't think he made it. I don't think he's coming. But do you reckon on the day they finally looked out there, man, my eyes are playing tricks on me. Man, it sure looks like something on the horizon out yonder.
Glory.
He said, "Y'all see that, or am I just seeing things?" Okay. Looked, said, "No, man, there's something out there." And they looked, said, "Hey, guys, come here." And they all gather around there looking. Said, "Could it be? Is there any chance it could be?"
Man.
And all of a sudden they hear, "Hey!" Now, would they do like some of you sitting here? All these guys are jumping up. "Hey, it's the captain. He's come back." And you just sit there and you go. "Yeah, it's probably about time for him to come." You think they'd do that? I'm telling you, do you think when the Lord actually comes back? Amen. I don't know. Maybe some of y'all, I don't know if you're going or not. Amen. But when he comes, we're going to go berserk. Amen. We were right.
Amen.
Yes.
I was Easter Sunday morning. I was in a little town in Pennsylvania, way out in the country. The church there in Pennsylvania is like this building. It was built in the 1700s. And old. There's people buried out in the little cemetery there from the Revolutionary War. And the cemetery is no farther from here to that wall from the church itself. Amen. Jesse's been there, Brother Garner's. And preaching on Easter Sunday morning, all them old tombs and graves out there in that little cemetery. Man, I got to thinking about the dead in Christ shall rise first. And them folks in Pennsylvania, they're not much shouters or anything. And I said, I got to thinking about them folks out there in the graves. One day is going to bust open the graves and come out of there. I just ran to the door over there, opened the door and said, "Hey, y'all out there in the graves. One day you're going to be coming out, amen. I'm telling you, the ground ain't going to hold you. That old pine box you were buried in, it's not going to hold you. One of these days, you're going to come up out of the ground, amen." Say, why? To meet the Lord in the air, amen. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." He's coming. Let me say number one. He's coming in the rapture of the church. What if the rapture happened tonight?
Glory.
Amen. Would you go?
Yes. Glory.
Some of you wouldn't. I could probably point you out.
Quiet.
All of a sudden we hear a nuclear explosion sound outside. Almost knocks the earth off its axis. The trump of God sounds. Man, I don't know. The Bible said the voice of God sounds like thunder. Sounds like the voice of many waters. Man, you hear God say, "Come up hither." man, all the dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive remain just boom out of here. All that's left is clothes and blood and eyeglasses and false teeth. Amen. Nuts and bolts and screws and titanium rods and steel plates in people's heads. And amen. Fillings laying all over the place. Be a mask laying there where a lady had a lot of makeup on. I know who that was. Or Carl Ackie said, no, they ain't going. But man, all of a sudden, do you understand? If you're here and you're not saved, you're playing games, and you're here by yourself, left alone, why, you'd lose your mind. I don't know. I would hate to hear that cry. What would you do? All of a sudden, everybody that saved's gone. Amen. I'm telling you, kids, I'm worried about you. Amen. Your grandma and grandpa, they're gone. They're gone. Daddy's gone. If you ain't got the good, son, you'd be sitting here by yourself. Lost, no hope. Man, you start screaming, oh, no! I waited too long. No, I missed it. God, I'll get saved now. Too late. You had your chance. Blew it. I'm telling you, you'd lose your mind. Bible's laying around in here. Scripture on the walls and stuff. Man, you looking around here, I don't know what that'd be like. Hear people running up and down the street out yonder looking for their babies. They're gone. They were safe.
Yeah.
These little youngins, they never knew sin. Gone. Now there'll be about five of you left in here. You know what you probably do? Probably curse each other. Hearing folks running down looking for their wives, looking for their husbands. Chaos. We was in West Virginia and they put on a skit like that. I don't know if I told this here last year. I'm very limited what I got, so I just use it. But they did a skit, and the skit was As the World Burns. And it was a country church in West Virginia, and there was literally, the windows were open, and people were sitting in the windows. They standing around the outside of the church, and it was like one of them old-time buildings. They had a potbelly stove over here where the piano is. And we have one of them old-fashioned meetings, buddy. And all through the week, had that revival going on. And every night, them kids would put on a different part of that skit. And what happened is the rapture took place and they missed it. That's like some of you kids sitting here that just kind of squandered your life and blew it. Yeah. Never got saved. And you going out here looking around wondering where everybody is. I'm telling you, it could happen. The Lord could come tonight. And that skit, the last night of that skit, all the folks are sitting in the church. Man, it's packed out. It's Friday night. They had a few pews set up on the platform. The service started. Everything was quiet. All of a sudden, you heard about these six or seven kids. You heard them come into church. They come in like this. They come running into church. It's Sunday morning, about 10:30. They come running in. There's six or seven adults sitting on them pews. And they come in going, where is everybody? Man, their hair's all messed up. Clothes are wrecked. What happened? Where's mama? Where's my daddy? And they come in. Where's the preacher at? Man, he ain't never late for church. Where's he at? One of them kids says, what was that Brother Delmas used to preach about? One of them adults goes, oh, the resurrection. So, no, that wasn't the word he used. The redemption. No, that wasn't it. One of them said, rapture. Man, them kids fell down at them adults' feet sitting there in that church. And they grabbed their legs and started crying, saying, we missed it, oh God. Why didn't you tell us? And they grabbed, why didn't you warn us? Man, I'm telling you, that put a vision in my mind I'll never get out of. You say, you preach too hard. You preach too long. Hey, don't preach hard enough. I'm telling you, I ought to grab you and shake you tonight. Turn you upside down, try to knock the world out of you. Hey, why? Because he's coming. I'm telling you, the greatest event that's ever going to take place as far as mankind goes is when Jesus Christ comes back and gets his church. If you miss that, I'm telling you, you missed it all. They change scenes again. They show the people that's been raptured out. They're in heaven. Now, you that are quiet, shy, and weird, I'll warn you right now, you stay away from us in heaven then. Because we will run you over. Amen. I'm telling you. I remember down at Brother Lackey's camp meeting when Brother Lackey and Sister Jewel, that was his wife's name, was Jewel. I remember when they were both dying. And they were in, both of them were in wheelchairs. And I remember them wheeling down to the front, one of them camp meetings. I don't know if it's on any of the tapes or not. I don't know if Jesse and them, or them guys are tape worms. I don't know if they've ever heard it or not, but they set them, old Preacher Lackey and Sister Lackey there, Sister Jewel, she loved all of us. She knew we'd come out of that old world of sin and all that. Boy, she loved us. She'd pray for us boys. And that little old, their little old girl there in the mountains, she got up and she started singing and she walked over to her old preacher, Miss Jewel. When I get to heaven, gonna look for my preacher. And I don't know how the song goes, but that's she starts singing. We're gonna kick up the gold dust on the hill banks of glory. And man, I'm telling you, it just, woo, there's just a sweep of God, the Spirit of God moved down through there. Man, we all got a little glimpse of that. I can't imagine seeing the person that led you to Christ walking up to him in heaven and just, amen.
I just want to thank you for... I want to thank you for speaking that day and presenting to me and sharing with me the gospel. Oh, man.
What do you think? I'm going to be carrying him around. Take me a lap through glory. Amen. 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 Say, who was it that was preaching when you got saved? Old Dr. Peter S. Ruckman. Pick that old preacher up. When I get to heaven, gonna pick up my preacher. I'm going to run around with him. I'm telling you folks, one of these days, it's a reality. And it showed all the folks that had been raptured out. And they all had sheets on and stuff. And they was up on the platform. They were up there going, woo, man, this feels good. You know, and they were all, man, it was something else. They'd look down in the congregation. And they would see people down in there. And they'd say, hey, there's our pastor. And they'd walk down and get him and bring him up. One of them girls says, there's Granddaddy. And she walked down there and got old Granddaddy. And he's an old guy there in the church. He wore bibbed overalls, old mountain feller, and he made homemade fiddles. And I think he's gone to be with the Lord now. And he's sitting right about here. And she went down there and said, there's Granddaddy. And she got old Granddaddy. And there he went walking. He's like this. Man, he walked up there and he got up on that platform. And when he turned around, there was a big tear rolled down his face. He started going, woo, it does feel good up here. Man, I'm telling you, my heart was going, choo, 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 choo. And I was sitting there going, I want to go up there. I want to go. Big old tall boy is in their church there. And he looked down and he goes, hey. There's old Brother McGahee. He was preaching the night I got saved. And man, he started down there after me. And I'm telling you, my heart almost missed a beat. Man, amen. You said, well, that's silly. Well, it probably is to you. It ain't for unbelievers.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, preacher.
And man, he got me. And I went up there and I went, woo!
It does feel good up here. And boy, I'm just telling you, if just a little skit can make it feel so good, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when all of a sudden a brand new body, no more pain, no more suffering. I'm telling you, no more death, no more disappointments, no more divorce, no more pornography, no more child abuse. I'm telling you, it'll all be done away with. No more dope, no more drugs, no more drunks, no more alcoholics. I'm telling you, no more disappointments ever in heaven. I'm telling you, one of these days, we're going up there. I'm telling you, what a day that's going to be. I'm telling you, I'm talking about our victory dance. Woo! Thank God you're saved. Thank God I'm saved. We're going. Are you? Some of you ain't. Amen. Whew. I'm getting too fat to do that anymore. Man, I used to be able to preach that with that loud for 30 minutes. I can't do it. I got to. Man, I'm telling you, I get a case of the can't help it. He's coming. You ready? You ready? They change scenes again. You say, oh, brother, that's just a skit. I don't think the Lord uses skits like that. Hey, probably the Lord probably ain't used nothing for you, has he? Hey, man, we had a late bloomer. That's all right, girl. You shout anytime you want to. Amen. And they change scenes again. And Brother Randy Hamrick's got these big old shop lights in his. He has a body shop. And they had it behind this guy there on the pulpit. And choom, these lights come on. You can't see him. You just see the outline of him. And that song starts playing. All is still. Heaven is silent. As the mighty judge ascends the throne. The book of life is open as the countless souls begin to moan. They had a big old family Bible, and I guess they had a fishing line or something hooked to it because it opened when they got to that part of that song. Brother Drummond was there with me, and Brother Drummond looked at me and he goes, "Did you see that?" He said, "How'd they do that?" I said, "I don't know, man, but it's good." So I think the Lord's in here. So I think the Lord's in this thing. Amen. But can you imagine? Can you imagine that book of life opened up and your name ain't in it? So how do you get your name in the Lamb's book of life? You trust Christ. Washed in his blood.
Yep.
Amen. Repent. Get saved. Have him as your Savior. Not be ashamed of him. Amen. They're singing that song, and that song gets to that part. And he who was the saint's accuser. And they had this big old tall fella come out, and he had that Grim Reaper's outfit on, black. You couldn't see his face. He starts walking through the crowd. Must face the charges against him. He's walking through there like that. Man, them country folks are just parting out of his way. They're looking up, man. Kids are, they're crying and moving out of the way. He's walking through the crowd like that, man. People's eyes are getting that big around. Kids crying. He's just coming through there. And it says he has to face the charges against him. And he comes up there before the throne. It says, and Satan begins to tremble as his fate. To him is known, and man, he has to bow there in front. And I see every knee is bowing, every hand in honor is raised. And man, they start singing, "Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy." Some of you that ain't never shouted, you will that day. And the last thing they showed, which I'll never be able to get out of my mind, never. They showed the people on this side of God, the right hand of God, the saved ones up on the platform. They showed them over here. They had the robes on, you know. And over on the other side was the people that missed it. Those are them kids that missed the rapture and their family, the ones that was left at church. And over on this side, there's a little girl. She's probably just about Gracie's age.
And she's standing there, and her daddy was over on that side playing one of the people that missed it. And they were doing this and that, and the song was going on. And I watched that little girl grab her mama's sheet, and she started pulling. And she started going, "Mommy, Mommy, I want Daddy." And Mommy looked down and she'd go, "Shh, be quiet." She'd go, "Mommy, I want Daddy." And they'd say a great gulf was fixed between them. And she got scared because Daddy was over there. "Daddy, Daddy." And Daddy was over here, and he seen what was going on. He looked over, he'd go, "Shh, I be quiet." She'd start going, "No, Daddy. Daddy, I want you, Daddy. Daddy, Daddy, I want you, Daddy. No, Daddy. No, Daddy." Man, I'll tell you, I'll never get that out of my mind. I can't imagine, folks. I can't imagine. I can't imagine one of my brothers is over there. I can't imagine just one of you. After preaching to you? Oh, no. No. No, Lord. Man, they were there. They were there that whole week. No, Lord, please. You imagine seeing your girlfriend over there? Your boyfriend? Kids in the youth group? See your boy over there. I'd never get it out of my mind. You say, that's an awful thing to bring up. I'm telling you, we better lock the doors tonight. Yeah. You ain't ready, you better get ready.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. This ain't just preaching. This ain't just trying to tickle folks' ears. I'm telling you, this is the truth.
Right.
He's coming.
Right.
He's coming back. You ready? You saved? You know what it means to be a child of God? What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? Rapture. Any moment. He's coming. Then let me say, I just got 3 points in a simple little poem. I'll make up a poem. The actual physical return of the Lord. The second coming of Christ. It's different from the rapture. See, the next event's going to happen on this earth is going to be the rapture of the church. 7 years of tribulation. You say, I thought it was 3.5. Listen, if you want to go through any of it, go right ahead.
Help yourself.
Amen. I ain't mid-trib, post-trib. Amen. Pre-millennial.
Yes.
Amen. The rapture's going to happen.
That's right.
I'll be gone. Yes, I'll be gone. When the trumpet of the Lord sounds, I'll be gone. It could blow most any day, but we're coming back to stay. Amen. Boy, it's going to happen any moment. Listen, when he comes back to this earth after that tribulation period, do you realize all of what's going to entail, all of what's going to take place? Do you know the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6 that the men will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them? Do you realize all religion will be done away with? I don't have a religion.
Amen.
I've got a risen Savior.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, how do you know? I know where he brought me from.
Yeah.
Amen. I know when he saved me, I can take you to the place.
Yeah.
It was on the seventh row back. Bible Baptist Church. Amen. 5 people in on the seventh row back on this section from the middle. We was down there in September. We stopped down there. Me and Brother Danny, Dee Dee Hall. My wife stayed with my daughter. She was pregnant and having morning sickness. And I said, I need to go see my old preacher. And I went in and seen my preacher. And man, he's just a little tiny, frail old man now. Man, I remember playing tackle football with him. I remember playing blood ball with him. I dislocated his thumb one time. Man, just a little tiny old man. We got in there, and
they had a meeting going on, and Danny and Dee Dee got up and sang. And they got up and sang. Said, "I'm just not the same, or I'm just not the one I used to be," however that goes. "He lives in me. He lives in me." And you know what folks are doing that down there? Like you. "The portrait that I used to be, it's in a different frame." Amen. The old preacher got up after they got done singing. He walked up the pulpit and he goes, "What's wrong with you folks, man? Bunch of deadheads." Man, I'm sitting down there and my heart starts pounding. I jump up and go, "Well, I'm saved. I got saved right over yonder, right over there on the seventh row back. Thank God I'm a child of God. Thank God I'm not a drunk no more. He rescued me. I got saved. God called me. Woo! Thank God." Amen. I woke her up. She was listening better than some of y'all were earlier. He's coming. No more religion. There'll be no need of religion then. Bible says he'll make his enemies his footstool. Amen. There'll be no need of education. Y'all can shout there. There'll be no more need of algebra. There'll be no more need of calculus. Amen. All English will be done away with. There'll be no more need of laboratories. Amen. There'll be no more need of scientists. Woo! Hey, I'm telling you, all be done away with. Why? Who cares what a dangling participle is?
Tell it.
Amen. Yeah. 4 divided by a square, you know, equals 9 to the fifth power to the square root of 9, the isosceles side of the triangle. Shut up! Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Ain't gonna be no need of that. Ain't gonna be no little pinheads trying to figure out the universe. Hey, why? The Creator will be walking on this earth. He's coming. Coming back, and boy, is he mad. All the sex perverts. All the folks that could hurt a little baby. Tell you, anybody that could hurt a small child like that. That's why God made large bore handguns. Put your foot right on their neck, put it down right between their eyes, and boom!
Yeah.
That's what they deserve.
Yeah.
All of them's going to be done away with.
You're right.
That's why the Bible says he treaded through the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Amen. He's coming. He's coming. Amen. Then let me say this. The rapture, the return of the Lord, and then there's going to be the reign of the King.
Amen.
He's going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Let me ask you something.
What a day.
How many of y'all say you're saved? You know it. Let me see your hand. Saved and know it. All right, you can put your hand down. You say you're saved and know it. All right, let me ask you this. What are you going to be doing during the millennium? Bible says if you suffer with him, you shall also reign with him. Amen. There's 1,000 years there that we reign with Christ. Not just praise him. Reign with him. If you live for him here. If you ain't got the, here's an old country word for you. If you ain't got the gumption to live for God, guess what? You probably won't be doing nothing for 1,000 years. Amen. And for 1,000 years, everybody will know you did absolutely nothing for him. Oh, you'll have a glorified body and you'll be safe. But you'll be sitting over on the grandstands. Or maybe have a bucket and a shovel and cleaning up after the white horses. How many more years we got? 647. Okay. I don't know. Amen.
You think it's square? You think it's square to have the right music? Dress right, walk right, spit white. Or you want to gather your little Jerry Curl friends and she sits alone in her room. No one to love her. It's sickening.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Or if you're into rap. I heard one here not too long ago. We had this kid, Brother Harwood. He's trying to help this kid. He got him out of jail. Here's Brother Mark. You know Brother Mark. You know, he's bigger than life. This kid, he calls him, gives him directions from the bus stop and everything. You know, he's coming from Red Deer down to Calgary. So he shows up at the church. Well, here's this kid. All he used to see is him in prison gear. Here he comes walking in. His britches are down to here. He's got a big hat on, turned sideways, got a bandana around his head, and he's got a bandana around his waist, and he comes walking in like this. What he is, he's ganged out. He looks like either a Blood or a Crip. And he's in Canada. I said, son, if we take you downtown Birmingham, that you wouldn't last 12 minutes. Do you understand that? He's like, I'm a rapper. Brother Harwood said, well, let's hear one of your songs. You wrote some of your rap songs. So he sings one for us. He said, hey, don't you know Jesus Christ? He's going to come. He's taking your turf. He's coming to town. He's going to take over all around. All the people oppressing you. All the folks in the view. I'm telling you. It's the same thing. Say, what is it? The devil's just showing you you're oppressed. What he wants you to do, he wants you to rebel. He wants you to have tyranny in your life. She sits alone in her room. No one to love her. He's coming to take you out. I'm just saying Christ is coming to your turf. Stupid! Do you see the difference? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All trials will soon be o'er, however the song goes. But I'm telling you, it'll be worth it. I don't need to be oppressed. No, no, I'm not oppressed. I'm impressed. Hey, I'm impressed with the Son of God, the one that saved me, the one that's coming back for me. It's coming. Amen. I'll finish with this. A few years ago, we got to go to Norfolk, Virginia. We got to see a fellow there in Brother Gibson's church. He took us to the Navy base, Norfolk. The entire Atlantic fleet's there. I'm telling you, I drove onto that base. When I seen all those ships, you could have cut me and I would have bled red, white, and blue. Amen. He said, Brother Mark said, I can take you on any ship you want to go on. I said, Brother, I have no idea. What do you suggest? He said, I suggest an aircraft carrier. We'll do that then. We got to go aboard the USS George Washington. And man, I'm telling you, me and my wife got to go aboard that ship. We walked up there. It looked like a walled city next to us. I don't know how many feet was sitting out of the water, 80-some feet standing out of the water. They said, how many people's on that ship? There's more people on that ship than what lives in the town I live in Alabama. Over 5,000 personnel on one ship. We started walking up there, and this guy's explaining things to me. He said, you see that over there, Brother Mark? He said, see those white turrets? I said, yeah. He said, those are Gatling gun machine guns. I went, yeah. He said, those are all around the ship. He said they can be laser guided. If a plane or a missile comes into us, he said, Brother Mark, they all shoot a rope of lead that big around. All of them at once. I'm like, yeah! One of them had the lid off and it just showed rounds and rounds of ammo. They looked like big Havana cigars, the bullets did. I went, man alive, I didn't know that was on an aircraft carrier. He said, you see that box up there? It's got four sections. I said, yeah. He said, them's Tomahawk missiles. I went, yeah. He's the one that told me, Brother Jesse, said, we can put one of those in the trunk of your car 200 miles from here. He said, we have got the technology. We can read your license plate and stick one of those Tomahawks in your car. Said, they can go through town and turn streets. By this time, I was like Gomer Pyle, man. Wow! So we walked up the gangplank and went up into the ship. Here we are. It's huge. The duty officer standing there, and every Navy personnel has to stand in front of him. He searches you over and over like this. Carry on, mister. And they got two guys in camouflage with Ithaca pump shotguns. Amen. And man, I walked by there like this. We went on board, went through there. 100 aircraft. The aircraft carrier, is the baddest machine man has ever made to get rid of other men. The carrier group, when it travels together, it has up to 26 different vessels that can go in one carrier group. All you got submarine, you got nuclear submarines that follow it. You got battle cruisers, frigates, supply ships. You got mechanic ships. All that stuff goes with the one aircraft carrier battle group has more armament and power than most small countries. And I'm like going, yeah, go ahead. And we're walking through that ship, showing us this and that. And then we got up on the flight deck. I'm standing on the flight deck of the USS George Washington, the USS Ronald Reagan sitting next to us. And I can look and see the entire Atlantic fleet. I started hollering, Saddam Hussein, you don't want none of this. By this time, there was a black fellow that was a saved man on the ship. And he knew this other guy, and he was showing me around. We got up on the flight deck, and man, I was up there looking around. And I said, man, you ever been in any kind of storms on this ship? And he goes, oh, yeah. He said, don't you let anybody tell you these ships don't rock and roll in the storm. He said, preacher, we've seen waves come up over the flight deck. He said, we was in a storm not too long ago, tore the catwalks off the side of the ship, 80 feet up. And he said something, he said this, he says, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a lot better to be on board the ship during the storm than to be off the ship. I was going, well, go ahead, help yourself. Amen. Say, why? I'm on the old ship of Zion. And the captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion, he brought me on board. Amen. I asked him, I said, you ever seen any action? And man, his face lit up. He stepped forward and he says, we were at Desert Storm. Man, I went, go ahead. Help yourself. I said, how was that? Boy, he paused there for a minute and he says, preacher, it was like this. He says, when our carrier group arrived into the arena of battle, I'm going, you go right ahead. Amen. He said, it was at night. See, Desert Storm was the biggest surface to air defense system ever in the history of the world. And we went through it like hot butter. He said, you could see way off in the horizon, you could see the explosions from the surface-to-air missiles, anti-aircraft and all that. He said, when we arrived in the arena of battle, it was at night, and over the horizon, it was probably several hundred miles, you could see the explosions. He said, we all that could and was able got up on the flight deck, and we lined the flight deck looking over there. And he said this, he said, preacher, we all had the same thought going across our mind at the same time. I said, what was that? He goes, Wait till they get a load of us. Listen to me, child of God. One of these days, could be tonight, could be before we wake up in the morning, this old body, amen, will put on incorruption. Be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll go to heaven. Go through that judgment seat of Christ while the tribulation period happens here on this earth. And that thousand-year reign. See, people ask me, said, Brother Mark, said, what do? You got, do you have insurance, you know, being an evangelist? No. Said, what are you going to do, you know, when you get older and all that? You got any kind of retirement? You got a 401k or anything? I go, yeah, I got a retirement plan. They say, well, what kind of plan you got? I say, millennium. I've got a 1,000-year retirement plan. Said, Brother Mark, how can you take off here the next 3 weeks without your wife? Millennium. How can you be in Massachusetts when your mama's having major colon surgery? Millennium. How can you go since January not see your grandbaby? Millennium. I got a retirement plan. Amen. Boy, that millennial reign, then the marriage supper of the Lamb and all that. I don't know how all that, some of you Bible scholars maybe got all that figured out. You probably know what we're going to eat and all that. I know this. It ain't. We ain't going to worry about fat grams. Some of you are going to be shocked when you find out the glorified body is 285. Amen, Brother McGay. Marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage itself, the bride of Christ. Do you realize the angels standing at attention? The seraphims and cherubims as we walk through the corridors of heaven. They'll be bumping each other going, there she is. That's the one the Lamb went after. That's who he's been talking about all these years. My goodness, they'll look and we'll walk by and they'll go, in there, and all that'll happen. Then we'll go out and there'll be a stable with white horses as far as you can see. The Bible, amen, sis. The Bible says, and I saw heaven open.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And the Bible says his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Amen. He had a rod of iron in his hand.
Amen.
Said he treadeth through the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the Lord himself, with that white hair, red eyes, will walk out to that stable, and he'll look over at us. The Bible says the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. He'll look back and he'll go, mount up! And man, he gets on the biggest white horse. And man, you look back and you see all the folks that were saved. And there we are. And we take off on that thing, man. We're in the air. And we're coming back down to this earth. We'll all have one thought going across our mind at the same time.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Wait till they get a load of us.
Yes,
it's a reality. Now, tonight, if it's that close, if it's that real, why don't you get saved? Why don't you show some guts? Backbone. Amen. You know what the Bible says, son? It says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know what you can show the world? I'll trust Christ. I believe on him. I'll trust in him. I believe on you, Lord, and I won't be ashamed of you. You come to him like that, you'll get in. Amen. Others need to be saved. Without doing it customarily, let me do it this way. Without anybody coming, I'm not even going to have heads bowed and eyes closed. Just look at you and you're